God is good, and all the time. We also know that God has called the church through His Son, our Savior Jesus the Christ, and He has given us three commands which sum up all of the Scriptures: love God, love others, and go. In those three commands, all that God has ordained unto us from His living Word, from Genesis to Revelation, are wrapped up. Because when we learn to love God, we will obey the Word. Amen, church? When we learn to love others, we will take the Word and its authority out into our world. Amen, church? And that is going. As we live our lives, taking that Word before us and being the Word of God in our world. So today I'd like to welcome all of you, and I have a wonderful message I'd like to share with you. The church knows, and for those of you who are out there who've been watching us, last week we had a very special sermon as our newest elder, Chuck, preached his very first sermon. How well did he do, church? God was glorified, and Chuck won't take that because, you know, he doesn't want the accolades, but the reality is God was glorified, amen? And that's what preaching is all about. We don't glorify ourselves. We glorify the God that we serve. We speak His truth because He has the words of life, not us. And today, that's what I'm going to share with you, because the words I'm going to share with you aren't even words I put together. These words were put together by three other pastors, because I'm going to share with you the theme of our convocation. That's why Pastor was away last week. We went to our Evangelical Association of Reformed and Congregational Christian Churches convocation. Can everybody say that with me three times real fast? Yeah, absolutely not. We went to the EA convocation. That we can say, right? Yeah, it's a mouthful when we think about the association that we are a part of, and I am so blessed to be on the board, and just the thought of a national entity coming together and doing nothing politically, but doing everything to worship and glorify God. That's what we did the whole time we were there. We worshiped and glorified God, and we were taught in the Scriptures. We were making disciples. And is that not the love God, love others, and go? Yes, it is. So today I want to share that with you, because for such a time as this, you are here. I am here. Everyone past and everyone future for such a time as this are where we are, because this is where God wants us. This is where God needs us, and this is where God has equipped us to walk and to work. And that is a truth. Open your Bibles to the book of Esther. You all know where this scripture comes from. It comes from the book of Esther. And we're going to be in that very book, and we are going to look at what the Lord did through a wonderful sister, Sister Esther. We're going to begin in chapter 3. And we're going to begin in verse 8. I'm going to read the story of how this is laid out, because I want us to understand the full picture here that is coming in. Now, please forgive me if I take a few more drinks of water today than normal. I've got a cough in deep in my chest. So it was because the air conditioning at convocation was set to like 68 degrees. And this old boy from PA just couldn't take that cold this time of year. So anyway, from the eighth verse in the third chapter of the book of Esther, we read these words. Then Haman said to King Ahasuerus, "There is a certain people scattered and dispersed among the peoples in all the province of your kingdom. Their laws are different from those of all other people, and they do not observe the king's laws. So it is not in the king's interest to let them remain. If it is pleasing to the king, let it be decreed that they be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who carry on the king's business to put into the king's treasury." Then the king took his signet ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, the son of Hammedatha, and Agiet, the enemy of the Jews. The king said to Haman, "The silver is yours and the people also, to do with them as you please." Then the king's scribes were summoned on the 13th day of the first month, And it was written, just as Haman commanded to the king's satraps, to the governors who were over each province, and to the princes of each people. Each province according to its script, each people according to its language, being written in the name of King Ahasuerus, actually that's King Xerxes in other scriptures, and sealed with the king's signet ring. Letters were sent by couriers to all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to annihilate all the Jews, both young and old, women and children, in one day, the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to seize their possessions as plunder. A copy of the edict is to be issued as a law in every province, was published to all the people so that they should be ready for this day. The couriers went out and impelled by the king's command while the decree was issued at the citadel of Susa. And while the king and Haman sat down to drink, the city of Susa was in confusion. When Mordecai learned all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the midst of the city and wailed loudly and bitterly. He went as far as the king's gate, for no one was to enter the king's gate clothed in sackcloth. In each and every province where the command and decree of the king came, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing, and many lay on sackcloth and ashes. Then Esther's maidens and her eunuchs came and told her, and the queen, writhing in great anguish, and she sent garments to clothe Mordecai, that he might remove the sackcloth from him, but he did not accept them. Then Esther summoned Hathach from the king's eunuchs, whom the king had appointed to attend her, and ordered him to go to Mordecai to learn what this was and why it was. So Hathach went out to Mordecai to the city square in front of the king's gate. Mordecai told him all that had happened to him, and the exact amount of money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the destruction of the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the text of the edict which he had issued in Susa for their destruction, that he might show Esther and inform her, and to order her to go into the king to implore his favor and to plead with him for her people. Hathach came back and related Mordecai's words to Esther. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and ordered him to reply to Mordecai, "All the king's servants and the people of the king's province know that for any man or woman who comes to the king, to the inner court, who is not summoned, he has but one law, that he be put to death, unless the king holds out to him the golden scepter so that he may live. And I have not been summoned to come to the king for these 30 days." They related Esther's words to Mordecai. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, "Do not imagine that you and all the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this." Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go, assemble all the Jews who are found in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day, and I and my maidens also will fast in the same way. And thus I will go into the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went away and did just as Esther had commanded. Now it came about on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace in front of the king's rooms. And the king was sitting on his royal throne in the throne room opposite the entrance to the palace. When the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, she obtained favor in his sight. And the king extended to Esther the golden scepter, which was in his hand. So Esther came near and touched the scepter. Then the king said to her, "What is troubling you, Queen Esther? And what is your request? Even to half the kingdom it shall be given to you." Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. When we look at this word, when we come to the place of understanding, the people here are in exile. They are not in their own land. They are in a new land under new laws, new regulations, new governors. Everything is different. And all of a sudden, here's this one, this one little Jewish girl finds herself in a place of royalty where she is literally a queen before the throne. And she has a place where she can utilize her authority, but if it's not utilized properly, she could literally die because of the laws of the land. Because the laws are so strict and so harsh that if she'd have walked in there and King Xerxes would have been in a bad mood or something didn't favor him that day and he just saw her standing there, didn't realize who she was or whatever, with a wave of a hand, she'd have been taken away and killed. But as it was, because of something this young lady did and because of a foundation, God allowed favor to befall in a place where she was not necessarily accustomed to being. She was in a place where the laws made no sense. How many of us find ourselves living in a place that makes no sense anymore? Brothers and sisters, for such a time as this, God has prepared His church, but we cannot just enter in. Esther did not just enter in. What did she do? She called to her uncle and said, "Go, tell all the Jews, tell everybody in Susa to fast and to pray for 3 days, eat nothing. Fast and pray for 3 days. Seek God's face. And I will go, whether I live or die. I will go." And what did God do? God honored that woman. God honored the fact that she sought Him first. She didn't seek the king. She sought the King of Kings. And He granted her the authority to go before the king of the earth and get his mind changed. That's what happens when we enter in the proper fashion. We are here for such a time as this. We are not just to run in there and attack. We are to enter in before a holy God and come before Him and proclaim His name, understand His ways, walk in His statutes, and then glorify Him in the offset. Because when King Xerxes was face to face with the holy representative of God, he could do nothing but give favor. Why? Because evil has to flee in the face of God. Can I get an amen, church? You and I need to understand, God used a wonderful woman here, a lady who understood, this could cost me everything, but if I don't do this, it's still going to cost me everything. She had nothing to lose and everything to gain. I wonder why the church is not running for school boards, why the church is not running for township supervisors and all these other positions that are out there, that we know that this world is sucking these things up and turning our places of community into a debauchery before God. We are here for such a time as this. You and I have that foundation that gives us the surety of knowing who and whose we are. We worship the King of Kings. He gave everything that you and I might be here right now. And are we going to speak the name of Jesus with our lives into this world, even when it may cost us something? Because if we don't, it's going to cost us something. And that's where we've got to begin to understand as the church. We are here for such a time as this. You said, "I don't know what's going to happen because it's raining outside." Well, guess what? It may be raining outside, but the sun is shining in Bob's heart. And I'll guarantee you, at the Bloomberg Fair, there is grace, glory, and sunshine being poured out on those people. Because there are people there handing out scriptures because they know they need to speak the name of Jesus into this world. Because there is no other way to find life and healing. Can I get an amen, church? Whew, pastor's fired up. Man, you should have been there. We had such an awesome time at convocation. When you get together with churches throughout the United States, the people who were there was over 300 people there representing over 200 churches or 128 churches throughout the nation. But we actually represent more than that because we have over 200 pastors. And every one of those pastors serves a church somewhere. We've got churches from California to Maine to Texas. We've even got churches overseas. We have a church in Africa. I mean, I want you to think about this. People from all over the world, we all got together, from all over the United States, actually. We all got together, and the one gentleman was there from Africa. And so, yeah, all over the world, we got together. We didn't come together to play political games. What did we come together for? To speak the name of Jesus, to glory in His name, to grow in strength and power. And God is glorified. And I'm telling you right now, next year, the EA convocation is in Edwardsville, Illinois, which is right next to St. Louis. Edwardsville is on one side of the Mississippi. St. Louis is on the other side of the Mississippi. So we're driving. It's a 10-hour drive. And I expect my truck to be full of people. I want you to glory in the Lord. I want you to understand the church is alive. It is well. And we are here for such a time as this. But we have to be as Esther was. The second message that came to us was a message that came from Brother Coslow Holt. And Brother Coslow Holt, he received a standing ovation before he even got in the pulpit. Okay, everybody knows Brother Coslow if you're in the EA. Brother Coslow, he's our board member on our church. He has been the pastor of Green Level Fellowship in Hall, North Carolina, for over 40 years. The gentleman is now into his 60s. He should be retired, but he says God hasn't taken him home yet. He is not ready to retire. He has diabetes. I want y'all to pray for Brother Coslow Holt. Will you do that for me? Pray for Brother Coslow Holt. I have never met such a humble man. He stands like 6'6". But I have never met such a humble man. I have never heard one bad word come out of his mouth. And he is a brother in Christ. And I'm going to tell you right now, when he got up to preach, he asked us all to pardon him. Because of his diabetes, he couldn't see that day. His eyesight was double. Everything he'd look at, so he couldn't read the scriptures. I'm telling you right now, you couldn't tell he wasn't reading the scriptures. He knew it from here. And he spoke it verbatim. And he gave us the truth of how we must be prepared in this time. That we cannot just go willy-nilly into this thing. Because God is our strength. We must go in the strength of Jesus Christ. We must go in the power that He has given us. And he said, I want you to think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How many of you know those three young men? Okay? How many of you also know that that wasn't their names? Their names were actually Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Yeah. Well, how did they get the names Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Well, when they went into captivity, remember, all these things are happening when they're in captivity. How many of you feel like we're living in captivity right now in our own free country? Yes, we do. And they gave them new names. What were their names? What did those names mean? They actually gave Daniel a new name too. They called him Belteshazzar. Well, the scripture tells you what those names mean. They are the names of the Babylonian gods. They named these men of God after the Babylonian gods because they saw the work of God in them and therefore tried to cancel it out by giving them another name, that people would come under that name rather than the name of the Holy God of Israel. But God had a different plan. So these three men, turn in your Bibles to Daniel 1, had to show us all just how important being in that foundation truly is. Because I'm going to tell you right now, they could not have done what they did had their foundation not been sure. From the first chapter, first verse, in the book of Daniel, we read these words. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God, and he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. Then the king ordered Aphazan, the chief of his officials, to bring some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles, youths in whom was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had the ability for serving the king's court. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. Now among them, from the sons of Judah, were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then the commander of the officials assigned new names to them, and to Daniel he assigned the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. And the commander of the officials said to Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king, who has appointed your food for your drink and your drink. For why should he see your faces looking more haggard than the youths who are your own age? Then you would make me forfeit my head to the king." But Daniel said to the overseer whom the commander of the officials had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days, and let us be given some vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be observed in your presence and the appearance of the youths who are eating the king's choice food, and deal with your servants according to what you see." So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their appearance seemed better than they were fatter than all the youths who had been eating the king's choice food. So the overseer continued, to withhold their choice food and the wine they were to drink, and kept giving them vegetables. As for these four youths, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. Then at the end of the days which the king had specified for presenting them, the commander of the officials presented them before Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and out of them all, not one was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's personal service. As for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers, who were in his realm. And Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king. Do you understand what we just read there? The king, again, in a foreign land with foreign things that they're going through, laws are different, you know, all the authorities are different. You know, it's not Kansas anymore, as we would say in The Wizard of Oz, right? We're not in Kansas anymore, Toto. Well, I hate to tell you, we're not in Kansas anymore. But we see ourselves being brought into these things where we have to do this and we have to do that, and they want us to do this and they want us to do that, and they call them mandates. It's not a law, but if you don't do it, we're going to hold it against you. And those things are getting ready to come back again. If you don't think they are, I have some swamp land in, you know, Tallahassee that I would love to sell to you as beachfront property. But what we see here is these 3-4 men who have said, no, I am not going to go over here and do the things that they want me to do because they come against the regulations of my God. So therefore, I will abstain from them. Test me in these things and see if not God provideth a better way. That if I am sickly and ill, then yes, we'll submit. We'll do your thing. But let us be shown to be true to the Spirit of God, and let God be shown true. Is that not what these men said? How many of us are willing to do that? Stand up for our faith and say, wait a minute. You know, I want you to think about this. Why do so many people come into the United States? Because it is the land of the free and the home of the brave. It is the land of opportunity. Why is it opportunistic? Because Christians have said, we will not oppress you. You can come into this land, do whatever you want. We welcome you to come and become citizens of this nation. Did you catch that? Come in legally, wantingly, not through the back doors, not through dark shadows, not with mischievous purposes in mind, but to become part of something that is wonderful, good, and grand. And we built this nation into the strongest nation of the world, and now it's about to fall apart. We are at that place in time where we are standing on foreign soil, standing in our own country. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, no, no. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and Daniel stood on the words of the Lord, and they ate only what God had said for them to eat. And how long did they do that? It says when the time had come for them to come before the king. But earlier it tells us how long that is. How long was that? 3 years. For 3 years they ate not the choice food of the king. They did not eat the fats and the wines and all that polluted stuff. Because remember, it was all sanctified under foreign gods. We have to remember that, because whenever they would make food, they would always add sacrifice from it to their gods. So therefore, if they'd have eaten it, they'd have partaken of those rituals, honoring those gods. And remember, they even denounced the names. If you read the book of Daniel, they changed his name to Belteshazzar, but he kept saying, "And I, Daniel." He never said, "And I, Belteshazzar." Because he was not Belteshazzar. He didn't agree with Belteshazzar, and neither did Meshach. No, neither did Hananiah, Mishael, or Azariah. We need to stop calling them by the Babylonian names and start calling them by the names of God and of their heritage and of their truth. We are called of the name of Jesus Christ, and may we be found therein, faithful to His word, faithful to His precepts, faithful to His knowledge and wisdom. And when they did, God honored them in their time of need. What do I mean by that? Well, we all know the story, okay, of the fiery furnace. Turn to chapter 3 in the book of Daniel. Chapter 3. If I can get my pages to separate, there we go. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, the height of which was 60 cubits, and it was width 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent word to assemble the satraps and the prefects and the governors and the counselors and the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, and the counselors, and the treasurers, and the judges, and the magistrates, and all the rulers of the province were assembled for the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the herald loudly proclaimed to you, the command is given, O peoples, nations, and men of every language, that at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, bagpipe, and all kinds of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. Therefore, at the time when all the peoples heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, the trigon, the psaltery, the bagpipe, and all kinds of music, and the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. For this reason, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and brought charges against the Jews. They responded and said to Nebuchadnezzar the king, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, the trigon, the psaltery, the bagpipe, and all kinds of music is to fall down and worship the golden image. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the administration of the province of Babylon, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have disregarded you. They have not served your gods or worshiped the golden image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and anger, gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then these men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said to them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now if you are ready at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, the trigon, the psaltery, and the bagpipe, and all kinds of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, very well. But if you do not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. And what God is there who can deliver you out of my hands? Woo! Woo! Did you just hear a threat? Let's read on. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath, and his facial expression was altered toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He answered by giving orders to heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. He commanded certain valiant warriors who were in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in order to cast them into the furnace of blazing fire. These men were tied up in their trousers, their coats, their caps, and their other clothes, and were cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. For this reason, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace had been made extremely hot, the flame of the fire slew those men who carried up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire, still tied up. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded and stood up in haste. He said to his high officials, "Was it not three men we cast bound into the midst of the fire?" They replied to the king, "Certainly, O king." He said, "Look, I see four men loosed and walking around in the midst of the fire without harm, and the appearance of the fourth is like the son of the gods." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the furnace of blazing fire. He responded and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out. Your servants of the Most High God, you servants of the Most High God, and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the midst of the fire. The satraps and the prefects, the governors, the high king's officials gathered around and saw in regard to these men that the fire had no effect on the bodies of these men, nor was the hair of their head singed, nor were their trousers damaged, nor had the smell of even fire come upon them. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." Man, why didn't he change their names back at that moment and say, "Blessed is the God of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah"? "Therefore, I make a decree that my people, that any people, nation, or tongue that speaks anything offensive against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, and their houses reduced to a rubbish heap, inasmuch as there is no other God who is able to deliver in this way." Then the king caused Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to prosper in the province of Babylon. Brothers and sisters, we live in a time where we need to understand that if we do not stand fast in God's precepts, when the time of trying comes, we're going to fail. Because when we compromise God's word, God compromises our safety. We need to remember, God honors us as much as we honor Him. Can I get an amen, church? Now, He knows we're fallen, we're broken people. That's not what I'm talking about. That is not what I'm talking about. God's salvation is here for each and every one of us. But when we willingly, I'm talking about willing sinfulness, when we willingly go against and we begin to worship other idols, when we begin to bow down to the things of this earth and the people of this earth, rather than bowing down to God, we are going to find defeat. But when we hold to our precepts, when we hold to the Word of God, God will honor Himself. He's not honoring us. He's honoring Himself. Because for Him to not do so would be to defile His own name. God will not do that. God has never done that. God will never do that. Yes, I'm speaking in positive forms that are eternal because I serve an eternal God who cannot lie. Can I get an amen, church? And we need to understand, when we walk in the precepts that these three men walked in, God will be there in our midst. But I also want you to see something else. Now, this was amazing to me, and I pray it's amazing to you. How many of the people who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to the furnace died? All of them. All of them that took them to the furnace died because the flame was heated seven times hotter. What does it say about the king? Did you catch it? Did you catch it? Let's look at this. Nebuchadnezzar, verse 26, by the way, verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the furnace of blazing fire. He responded and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out, you servants of the Most High God, and come here." He went to the exact same place where the men who put them in died because of the heat. But because he saw God and responded to seeing God, what did God give him in that moment? It's called grace. In the midst of the fire, in the midst of what should have caused him death, God said grace, because he's going to acknowledge my name. And the king didn't die. That's grace. When you and I walk through the fire and others see it, they can come right to the fire and God won't destroy them. He'll save them out of it because of us. Because we're in the fire. Because we're believing in him. Because we're going through the trials and the tribulations. Brothers and sisters, you may be wondering why life is so hard. Do you realize Jesus took the cross for you? Are we not willing to take a little bit of heat for him and save the others? We are to be shaking the very gates of hell. Isn't that what we're told in the book of Jude? We're to snatch them right out of the fire. And remember, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of that fire. Their clothes was not burned, their hair was not singed, and they didn't even smell like smoke. We know there's a smoking section in heaven because some of us are just going to barely get in. But by the grace of God, we won't smell like the sulfur pit of this earth, because he will keep us from all harm. Can I get an amen, church? You and I are called for such a time as this. There is nothing this world can throw at us that will defeat us. Because even if we die, what does Paul say? To die is glory. To live is Christ. Either way, we win. So may we win well, and may we see that we are here, each and every one of us, for such a time as this. But we have to be steadfast in the Word of God. Now, I'm going to tell you, we all know that's not the end of the story, don't we? Because we all know Daniel chapter 6. How many of you know Daniel chapter 6? Well, I'm not going to have you turn there because I'm well out of time already. But we know that in Daniel chapter 6, he gets tried, and this is even another king. We need to remember, bad things are going to keep coming. There's going to be other people that come in, and they're going to be worse than the ones that were before them. We see it now. We know it to be true. And it's going to keep coming. Daniel was under King Darius. That was three kings after Nebuchadnezzar. Well, actually two kings. It was Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, and then Darius. We need to understand, three kings later, he gets tested again. And they lie about him. Well, you know, hey, he wasn't going to pray to the king. Because, let's face it, we all know there's only one king, amen? We're not praying to somebody in this world. That's speaking of the end times. That's speaking of the Antichrist. So we bow our heads to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. What did God do when he was in there? He shut the mouths of the lions. In fact, Daniel said he sent an angel to shut their mouths. And here I am, O king. And what did the king do? He praised God. Another king praised God. And then he took all those people that had accused Daniel and threw them in the lion's den. Not only those people, but their entire households. Folks, there's a judgment coming. And it's going to devour whole households. You and I need to understand that. And we are here for such a time as this, to get people to recognize Jesus Christ, not us, the Lord. And we have to walk in the ways of the Lord. And as we do, God will be glorified. And in God's glory, through the name of Jesus Christ, people will be saved. Can I get an amen, church? And that's our life, given to the gospel. That is our life and all that we are and do. It's not about making it to the end. You know, the old adage, I used to hear this all the time when I was in the machine shop. The one who has the most toys in the end wins. I hate to tell you this, but I honestly believe it's the one who gives the most away wins. And by that I mean the giving of self. Jesus said, unless we die to self, we will have no life. But when we die to self, he gives us life. Amen, church? And in that life, may we give all that we are. May we remember God has us here for a reason. Be steadfast. Walk in Him. Love Him. Show people how much you love Him. Just by being you. That's all you have to do. Remember who you are, Christian. Pray with me. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for this group that we belong to called the Evangelical Association. And we thank you for the men and women who make it up, who are godly men and women wanting to teach and preach and exhibit the Word of God, and that we are such a part because, Lord God, your kingdom is of such that believe your Word, hold fast to it, and glorify your name. So, Lord, be glorified in all the land, in every life that's here, that's hearing this Word even now. And for those who hope to be strong enough to make it through, Lord God, if their hope is to follow you, if their hope is to come unto you, may they understand all they need to do is turn from their sin, repent from your sin, and ask the Lord to walk with you, accepting His payment on the cross of Calvary as our payment of sin, and then get plugged into the church, the real church, and be as Christ in this world. Father, bless us, we pray. Hold us, help us, and glorify yourself through us. In the name of Christ Jesus. And the church says, Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.